Hello, human peoples. You're listening to the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. Support us and gain access to great exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and our latest show, Spiel Boys. Head over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We do game streaming, movie nights with our patrons every Friday night, and you can even commission your own podcast about anything you want. Literally anything, within reason, and we have to do it. You are quite frankly out of excuses not to go visit patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/gamefully unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Yeah, a little.
You hear that? You hear my snuffles?
A little snuffle up, I guess, yeah.
I'm a little snuffle up, I guess.
Snooting with your tutor.
Uh-huh, that's me. Hey, everybody.
Little Tutor Snoots Dave Bell. Hello, everyone.
My name is Tutor Snoots Dave Bell.
My name's Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Spaceman.
Spaceman.
He's better than Starman. He's got all of space.
That's true.
What's Starman have?
Just the one star.
Rookie shit.
You wish to know if I am real. I am like you, an explorer. Your loneliness intrigued me.
Why are you here?
I might be of help. I wish to assist you in your emotional distress.
Yeah.
And the face of a woman's dead husband. That's all he's got.
It's a lot.
It's all he's got, Starman.
Yeah. Was there anything we should have covered besides this? I don't think so, right? Well, I guess that is that Imaginary came out.
Did it?
Yeah, I think. I don't regret covering this because I was very curious about it. This was like,
yeah,
I just didn't even think about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think we saw this trailer and was like, let's put it up.
Although in true Netflix fashion. Hi, Dave. I did have to like look for this, and it was four days after it premiered on the service. I wasn't featured anywhere. Really had to search for this movie.
They buried it. And at first I was like, what the hell?
Have we learned nothing from the lessons of Mank?
Yeah. Well, so what I learned though, looking into this, because this isn't actually very well reviewed.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised either. We'll talk about that. It has a better audience score. Critics have it, well, this is Rotten Tomatoes, but at 53%. But also, so behind the scenes, apparently this was in post-production for 3 years because it got bad test screenings, or rather, quote, mixed reactions. So that's all kind of coming together in my head because this is Adam Sandler.
It is.
It's based off a book.
Adam Sandler and His Package. Yeah.
Yep. And nice reference. And it's the director who did Chernobyl.
Yes.
And like a bunch
Johann
of other
Rink.
Things. Yeah. And so like I had pretty high hopes for this. I didn't hate it. I didn't hate this movie. I'm just going to start with that.
But I thought it was very mid.
Yes.
It's very mid. I think it's a good idea. And I like its theme, but I think it's just a little, anyway, what did you think?
We'll talk about, no, I agree completely. I think it's mid. We'll talk about why it's mid. I watched this movie and then I watched Poor Things right after, and spoilers for my review of Poor Things. I actually quite liked Poor Things. I don't know if you saw it, Tom.
I haven't seen it yet. It's one of the only Best Picture noms that I haven't seen.
That guy has been hit or miss for me.
Yorgos? I don't think I've seen any of his movies, to be honest.
Okay, well, I did not care for The Lobster, and then I liked The Favorite, and then I liked Poor Things, which happens to be written by the writer of The Favorite.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, okay, that's probably what that is.
I have seen The Great, which was written by the writer of The Favorite as well.
Yeah.
And I do like The Great.
Yeah. So that's all to say that it kind of eclipsed this movie in my head, where it's like I watched this movie, which is mid, and then I watched Poor Things, which is quite good, and was like, kind of like it kind of took the steam out of my view of Spaceman even more, which is it's unfair. That's unfair to the movie. You know what I mean? Where it's like, but that's all to say, I think this movie, its issue is that like I'm reading reviews for it, like just audience reviews that talk about like this movie is about everything and nothing. It's about life and not life. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of the problem. It's not about anything. Not really. Like it's
sort of is. It's a real gentle hand.
Yeah, it's about discovery versus like connection, right?
It's it's about discovery for discovery's sake versus connection. Like,
yeah,
he's racing out there to be the first to discover this thing, but it's like, so what? Like, yeah, there's a lot of subtlety around that. But the basic thing is he's always pulling away when he shouldn't be. He is suffering from self-imposed loneliness that a lot of human beings experience, and he just has to confront some uncomfortable truths represented by a giant repellent spider, because
yes,
that's what the truth is. It's repellent, as exactly. No matter how gentle or true it may be, it's still hard to face it. And that's pretty much it. It's basically he goes to the edge of he goes past Jupiter to have a spider tell him about himself. And it's reductive, but it's that, and then a sort of feeble attempt to extrapolate, not a feeble attempt, but a not great attempt to extrapolate that to the entirety of humanity, which doesn't land very well.
No.
I think it's ultimately, it's just a very small personal story about this one man that's trying half-heartedly to say something, it's trying to say there's some truth about Adam Sandler's character and experience that is applicable to all of humanity, and I think there is to a certain degree, but it's just, it's very just like, it doesn't try that hard to make it as universal as it, like, the filmmaking really seems to want you to think. Like, yes. It's presenting this thing, when he has his realization in this movie, I guess we'll explain the ins and outs of it if we need to, but yeah. He basically gets to this point where he has this big epiphany about himself and about the universe and about existence, and it's what should really be important to me, realizing his small space in the timeline of human existence. It's this huge epiphany moment. It's supposed to be like McConaughey's epiphany in Interstellar. Like, it's supposed to hit us in the same way, right? Where it just, oh, this is it. Like, it's completely, you know, like, it's this huge emotional moment, and it changes the world, and it changes how he thinks about and it's this big profound thing that echoes throughout centuries. Like, that's kind of what they wanted, because he's investigating this big ribbon that just appeared in the sky, and it's supposed to be like, we learn it's like the end and the beginning of everything. It's like Big Bang particles. It's like the essence of all reality. So he touches it, and it's supposed to. Oh yeah, according to the spider, and he touches it and has like a 2001 moment. It just, it feels like it had a decently profound, true thing to say about humans, and then tried to make it more profound than it was, and it just isn't.
I wonder how much of that's in the edit. I should note that this director also directed a lot of David Bowie's final music videos, which I bring up only because I do think you mentioned 2001. 2001 did a thing. It did a thing for space movies, and for good or for better or for worse, because 2001 is like, you know, it's that ending, right? It's this idea of like the concept of exploring space gets very abstract. We love that idea. It resonates today, right? Matthew McConaughey going in that black hole at the end of Interstellar, and space is treated with a very grand reverence, which is like big.
It's
the unknown.
Cheekily quote Star Trek. It's the undiscovered country. Like it's
exactly.
It's death too. Like it represents all these abstract concepts.
But I'm glad you brought up Star Trek, because Star Trek, I would argue, and this is part of what I love about Star Trek, it's almost the opposite, where it treats these grand ideas like they're just, another thing this week. We met a space god again. You know, like, that's the beauty of Star Trek, is that for them, it's not this, like, it is this unknown, but it's treated with, like, yeah, just another day on
the ship. Right, it's like they go into each episode knowing that what they know about the universe, like what they know about the universe, is going to change this week.
Yeah.
Like they're just like ready for it at this point. Like they're aware, like, okay, we have like a basic understanding about how things work, but this is a big universe and there's some weird shit out there.
Yeah. There's an episode of TNG where they essentially kill God And then they just move on.
Yeah, attack and dethrone God.
Yeah, they learn. Yeah, they learn the origin of all life. And then they go, all right, put that in the report, and they move on. And I'm like, wait, hold on a second, guys. I think that deserves a little bit of reflection. But I mean, that's
kind of what this movie, it's him meeting God. Yeah. Or it's what they wanted. They want the movie to have that feeling.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they wanted this to be.
And that's what I'm getting at, is I think there's this feeling of like, you make a movie in space, what are you going to do? Are you going to be 2001 about it? Don't you want it to be this grand, big, epic thing stretching across space and time the way 2001 is? You know, 2001 has a jump cut of like thousands of years. It's such this grand, big look at humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's this instinct to do that, but the movie needs to, like, I think you're right that this is actually a more personal, smaller story.
It's an interior story, which is, you know, it's like you said, there's like two different kinds of movies you can make in space: the great big grand idea, and then the small interior drama, because it's just one spaceman floating in a tin can.
Right. And the question, I guess my big question for this is what happened, does it matter to humanity? Just starting from the idea, is the spider real?
I don't think it matters, but...
Well, it kind of matters, because the spider is who tells him what the dust is. The spider is the source of that information, right? That says it's the beginning. We don't actually know that.
Unless it's the dust itself. We don't know. We never know what the dust is.
Right.
Because he can't hold it. And like, that's, I think, the most elegant part of the metaphor, I guess, is... His ultimate goal, this ribbon in the sky, he's supposed to go up there and test these particles and figure out what it is. And the spider's telling him it's the building blocks of existence, it's the beginning and the end, or whatever. It's the beginning and it's the ending. It's everything. But he can't hold them. They just pass through his jar, they pass through his spaceship. So it's a goal that he cannot ever achieve. And he's chasing it perpetually, and it's carrying him further and further away from all the things that are really important. And that's, you know, I think it's the most elegant thing the movie does.
Yeah, you could do the same movie about a religious person, becoming a monk and like putting his family aside, which is the idea that our search for this answer mm-hmm. to what anything is futile, and like in it,
you're
ultimately,
never going to know it. Yeah,
yeah, and it can ultimately, it, you could argue you could do the same symbolism for, I don't know, if like perhaps like a really rich person only focused on going to Mars instead of repairing the damage done on Earth. Mm-hmm. That idea of our quest to go into the unknown for discovery and not fixing or seeing the things that are tangible and right in front of us.
And that like the act of discovery is itself somehow intrinsically heroic or noble.
Right.
Like, this is another elegant thing that the movie does. This is actually my favorite aspect of the movie, is all the subtle thing. Like, I think the direction is really cool in this.
Yeah. But like, I think it's well made.
All the subtle things, like, Adam Sandler is a Czech astronaut, is the first, they're going to beat the South Koreans out there to this thing. So they're the first people. They're going to be the first out there. But his spaceship's really janky. He's the only astronaut on there. He has a very limited, modest pantry. He has to do commercials every time he wants to. Like, in order to use the decontaminating spray, he has to do a commercial before he can deploy it. Like, they keep reminding us that this thing is so broke and janky and held together with string, but it's going to be the first. So they rushed him out there so they can be the first. And it's like his marriage is falling apart. It's a hard thing to send a man by himself for an entire year to the edge of space.
Right. And I can't stress it enough. That doesn't make any sense. Why would you send one person? Why would you ever
money,
do that?
Money.
Oh, I guess you're right.
Because they're racing to be first. Like,
right.
In all these movies, like, what's the biggest problem? It's the amount of air and food, right?
Right.
So you limit that cost. You cut it in half by only half. Like,
I wish they leaned into that more.
It because it's like really bad to do that to a person.
But right.
You would do it if your only goal is to be the first and get that prestige. And so the movie never says this very loudly. It's all just in the details in the background, but it's like, we sort of learn that, like, we begin from the standpoint that his mission is noble. Like, oh, he's going out here for the good of humanity. And then we slowly learn, oh, there's other missions. He's just the first one. There's other missions right. behind him.
And then we learn, like, the other mission.
It's not even really life or death. Like, the ribbon's been there for 4 years and we still don't know what it is. And nobody's, like, really that worried about it. But we're just kind of like, because, like, why else would the Czech space program be the first one up there? You know, like, it's...
So and what we learned when South Korea shows up...
They have a gorgeous spaceship, yeah. and it's fully manned. Like, they clearly have the resources that he right. doesn't have.
It's just jealousy. They were just like, send right. a person up there first.
Right. They just wanted to be first.
Yeah.
It really, like, as the movie comes out, we get more information, we realize that his mission, yes, it's a difficult one, but, like... It's not for the good of all mankind. I mean, it is, but it's also
for vanity.
But it's for vanity. Yeah,
I think it's the good of all mankind
is a helpful excuse.
Yeah, I think they needed to lean into that more. I think the issue with this movie is it is trying to say too much, and it's
super confident in a lot of the things. Some of it is, but some of it isn't. Yeah.
Right. Like, the spider representing an ugly truth is great, but that does mean the spider isn't real, right?
Not necessarily.
Well, yeah. I kept wondering because it starts with Adam Sandler kind of assuming the spider's a hallucination. And then there's a point where he kind of accepts it as a physical being, as a real thing, right?
Because he has no choice because it's not going away.
Right.
So.
But you get the vibe that by the end he does think it.
Yes,
but
like, yeah, he cries. He freaks out when he thinks the spider is leaving him.
Right. That's all to say that, like, I know this sounds like a nitpick, and it kind of is. Why didn't he ever ask him why he looks like a fucking spider? Why didn't he ever go, like, why are you a spider? And the idea of, like, isn't he a man of science? Isn't he a man... to discover stuff, like, you'd think he'd be a little more interested in it as an alien, and being like,
he doesn't get super into it, but he does ask it the standard questions, like, where's home, how'd you get yes. here, what's your name.
But I would ask, like, I don't yeah. know, can I get a little of your blood? Yeah,
Put a little bit on the microscope. Let's take a look at that.
Right. I would never stop asking him. And, like, it's weird that he never asks him, why are you a fucking spider? And so, like, that's why he has a dream, right? He has that spider nightmare before he sees the spider.
Yeah. So that's, like, the big question mark is it real?
Right. And so the fact that he never asked that to me implies that there's a part of him that knows it's not real. Like, that it's, he's not that curious about the spider the way you would an alien making first contact. He never tells that home that this is even happening. And I think it's because he just never is sure, right? He's mostly like, I feel like he's never like, hey, I made first contact with an alien. Can I go home? Like, that's
right.
Because
he's never, there's half the cameras on the spaceship are out, so he can't verify yeah. it. They could look at, you know, the oxygen use, but, like, that doesn't tell you anything.
What about the other cameras?
Sure. But, like, he keeps at, you know, and it's in, like, the bathroom where the camera's not working. And, like,
right.
you could look at the instruments, but that doesn't mean anything because it's an alien. You have no idea. We don't know if he breathes oxygen. We don't know right. what his chemical composition is. And he doesn't want to tell mission control, hey, I think there's an alien here, and then have it not be an alien. And he also yeah. doesn't want to tell him, I'm seeing things, because then the mission's, like,
for sure
scrubbed.
Yeah, it's an interesting little, like, yeah. That's the thing, is, like, it feels more like he is doubtful than anything else. Like, it feels more like he doesn't want to press it because he does not think... or, like, his actions seem to indicate that he thinks it's a hallucination. But until then, he grows this relationship with him, right? Like, where it's like, I don't know. And then there's the lore about his home planet and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's I don't know. It's supposed to be ambiguous. I get that.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of, like, loud stuff that sort of, I don't know, like, distracted. Like, the product placement stuff I thought was neat. But then I kind of felt like it fell off. Like, the story kind of fell off from that. And like, until you brought it up again, I was like, oh yeah, that is why that it did that. That is what that's about.
Yeah.
It just feels like they had too much to like try to fit in. I don't know. Which is weird because a lot of nothing also happens. Like it's mostly him in this spaceship, talking to this his breakup buddy, his breakup spider.
Yeah, talking to the spider. Going eating, the eternal sun shining his eating, memories.
Yeah, eating junk food.
Eating Nutella, yeah.
Breakup. Yeah.
Little spider eating a jar of Nutella.
I like when the spider was just like, you know what, you're a dick.
Like, right. Such my interest in you has expired. I was like, damn.
Yeah, man, the spider's ice cold.
Yeah, when the spider just realizes that he's an asshole.
Yeah, spider bro. Imagine having first contact and then the alien going like, no, you're actually a prick. Like this, like you being an asshole, I don't want to do first contact with you after all. That's so mean. Yeah. It's like the South Park where they put the barrier around Earth.
Yeah.
They're like, fuck Earth.
You don't get to be part of the Space Council.
Yeah. It's just mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Stone cold, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I kind of came out of it going like, I got that general idea of what they were trying to say, but it I don't know. It just didn't feel like there wasn't much else to say besides that. And like you said, they tried to make it kind of seem bigger than it was.
Yeah.
Because most of the movie is, yeah, Adam Sandler kind of alone. He's going through his memories. The spider starts invading his memories. And it seems it's, again, it's ambiguous. There's parts where he's remembering things he wasn't present for. And the spider kind of says like, yeah, I mean, you were told about it, which was interesting that they did that. Cause I couldn't tell like then what is that memory, right? Like, is the spider actually going through his memories or is it creating, or is he imagining things again? Like, cause why would the spider create a memory of something he wasn't there for?
I think it's just provoking a memory he already had in his head.
Yeah, or a thought. Because again, he wasn't there for that memory.
Right, that's, a thought. Like a scene that has played out in his mind, yeah.
That makes sense. And so the idea is, that his wife at home is pregnant. He's a dick. Like, she's breaking up with him over Check Connect, which was very 2001, that phone system.
Yeah. Just this gigantic machine that's in the middle of her living room.
Yeah. And so she's basically breaking up with him, but no one will send him the message. So they're just saying to him like, yeah, she's her thing's broken. But he sort of knows, like it seems like at a certain point it becomes clear of like,
yeah,
she's breaking up with
him. She hasn't heard from her. She's not calling him.
Yeah,
she's not answering when he calls. But,
And then, he runs into the spider. And basically most of the movie is him just talking about the relationship.
Yeah.
And we're seeing memories about the fact that he's just, I know it's complicated, but he's kind of a dick. Like, he's just sort of shoving her away a lot of the time. He wasn't there for the first baby. It seems like he's not there for this one.
He wasn't there when she had a miscarriage, the first pregnancy. Yes. And then now she's pregnant again and he's not there. It's just, he always finds some sort of noble work related excuse to leave her behind.
Right. And it's hard because like, he is an astronaut. So right. Like,
right. And it's just one of, and again, like we were saying, the full depth of this movie is just like, oh, turns out the thing you were running from was the thing you needed all along. Like, really? I'm being reductive.
But that
like,
is kind of what
that
it is.
Basically it. So it's like, I mean, there's only so much profundity we can dress it up in, where there's things you could break out of that and explore, like the idea of the space race being vanity driven and like,
And the idea that the thing we're looking for is on Earth, but that's usually, I guess when we talk about the larger plot, like that's usually something that's in like Interstellar is actually a very good comparison, right? Because Matthew McConaughey literally he leaves his daughter behind knowing that he probably will never see her again. Because there's this higher calling.
Yeah.
And like Interstellar handles it differently because there is in fact a higher calling in Interstellar.
Yes.
Like That is the big difference. And that I do kind of like that about this. Is yeah. like, what if Interstellar, but he's just like, no, I got to see the space jizz on Jupiter. And that's the reason he's throwing away his life. Like, that's basically what they're doing here. But again, it's so hard to weigh it because he's also like, he's only gone for like a year.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's an astronaut and she married an astronaut. So part of me is like, I don't know. This is, it's I mean, kind of what yeah, it, you, this is his job, right? Like,
you married an astronaut. It's like, and then it's like, yeah, it's like, we keep talking about how like the stakes aren't that high. Well, the truth is we don't really know what the stakes are. They don't seem that urgent to anybody, but ultimately we don't really know what this ribbon means. So it's like, you're also sort of like, yeah, he's like distant, but you can't wait 6 months to dump him.
Right. Exactly.
Like,
I think that would have
like
helped.
He's out hanging out by Jupiter. Maybe don't put this on him right now.
Right. And we're supposed to be on her side. That's the thing.
I don't know if we are at first.
I don't know if we are at first
because we're not given, the only information we're given at the beginning is that he is at the edge of space about to look at this phenomena to analyze it and figure out what it is for the good of all Earth. And she's dumping him. Like, that's all we know at first.
That's until, all we know. Yeah, you're right.
Until the information is meted out. That's like, oh, it's kind of like a janky program. It's only a year trip. Nobody's really taking it that seriously. So it isn't, right. Doesn't really feel that prestigious.
And his attitude is part of a pattern, you know?
Yes.
Where it's like, oh yeah, she should have dumped him before he left. But she's sort of in that mode where she's like, I got to just do it. I got to do it because I'm scared I'm not going to do it. And sure enough, I don't think she does it in the end. And so like that to me is also part of it. It's like, it ends with him just like going back on the ship and like calling her. And I was like, did we need that? Like, I think this could have been ambiguous more. Like, have him, the last shot of him going on the ship. Or something, but I feel like they wanted to show how the inside is very well staffed.
Yes, yeah, they wanted to show the contrast between his ship and the Korean ship.
It's kind of like the issue is like their relationship to me is weirdly low stakes. Like, make it a 10-year mission. Make it like Interstellar, where it's like he's going away for a ridiculously long amount of time. Like, that would have helped because I kept going like, well, it is just a year. Like, that's surprisingly, that's actually less time than I thought it would take to
right, and that
go
would
to
make,
Jupiter
that
and back.
Would make more sense as to why a spouse or a partner wouldn't be able to wait till you got back to break up. It's like, no, I need to get on with my life.
Exactly.
Like, but like, 6 months.
Right.
You already been married for a while. Just like, he's in Jupiter, man. You can do whatever you want till he gets back and just dump him when he gets back. Shit.
Yeah, make that time longer. Like, we don't know how, like, why did we give ourselves, or why did the movie give them a year to go to Jupiter?
I feel like it was all in service of this, of sort of taking the idea of being an astronaut down a peg, you know? Like,
right, yeah.
Sort of making his, it's not quite the right stuff, you know what I mean?
Like, right,
it's
but wouldn't
not
that be
quite that significant of a mission.
Wouldn't it be even more amazing if it took longer then? Like, the idea
yeah.
that the mission is still, that's what I mean, the mission is still insignificant, you learn, but it has a greater cost, I think would be, because like, for me, the cost of a year, I'm like, yeah, I guess if you're an astronaut, taking a year of your life to go look at this space jizz, like, yeah, I mean, that's not unreasonable. So, like, had they made it, like, 10 years of his life, like, we talk about, like, the trip to Mars, you know, would be so long that we wouldn't be able to come back. So just make it that, you know? Make it so fucking long that it's going to take up half of, the, you know, their life together or something like that for something that is so inconsequential. But the fact that they made it a year makes it feel like just lower stakes to me, where I get the relationship issues, but it's almost like has nothing to do with his trip. Because yeah, she could wait 6 months easily. He says he's halfway through it.
Yeah. I did really have, I think there, man, I had a lot of trouble sort of squaring why her character was so angry with him for most of the movie. And I think that's another problem too. I know most of it's intentional. At least I feel like a lot of it's intentional just based on everything we've been talking about, just of how it is kind of
like
a reveal
back too.
It seems like she does. It's open.
It's implied. Yeah.
She is open to taking him back. I would interpret that.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say it's necessarily very certain at the totally certain at the end.
Right.
It's her character doesn't really start to make sense until the movie's almost over, and even then, like, she's kind of like, I really don't understand this person. So it made this. It just kind of made the actual story hard to get invested in. Like, I understood what they were saying with it about, you know, him running away and all the things that we've been talking about in terms of the theme. It just felt like the relationship could have been more attention could have been paid to her character and the relationship to make those themes land a bit better.
Right. I really think they needed a bigger swing with the length. Cause like it plays in with his loneliness too, which is like, you're so lonely. You've been there for 6 months. And I bet there are people watching on Earth who are like, motherfucker, I've been lonelier longer than 6 months. You know what I mean? Where it's like,
yeah,
and like you're saying, her being angry, it's like, I don't know, you married an astronaut. He's going to go do astronaut stuff for a year. That's what they do. Like,
right,
it's
not
bad
that long.
Timing.
That's like a deployment in the military.
Exactly. That's not that long.
Yeah.
If you're going to, like, if it was like 15 years, 20 years, I would get all of this a lot more. The conflict where she's like, I love this person.
It doesn't even need to be, didn't even need to be that extreme. It could have been 5 years.
Yeah. 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 Just a little more. 1 year was like, whatever, man. I don't know. It's just like they needed to push that a little more. And then again, like the loneliness of like, that's the thing, is like the 6 months alone and he's hallucinating a spider. I would like, it's more likely that spider is real because it's like, I don't know if that's enough time.
Right. Like I would be sitting there like looking at it in the door and be like, yeah, I haven't been here this long for this to be happening to me. That be on the radio. Yeah, a giant spider is in here.
Yeah. And again, I feel like, yeah. And I,
are you sure? Are you seeing things? Do I sound like I'm seeing things?
Motherfucker,
or does
been
it sound like I'm
months.
Looking at a spider?
Yeah.
Here, I'll put him on.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He's not alone. He's been making phone calls to people. So it's like, I get that he's physically alone. But again, I think that like, I've probably gone 6 months only talking to people via, I mean, we all kind of know what that feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's hard. And so like, that's why like the spider part was so loud. I love when he's like, do not be afraid. I won't hurt you. And it's like, really? Cause my eyes are telling me something very different about you. So like, I feel like he needed to have a moment where he's like, I know what it looks like. Listen, I love when he first opens the door. It's like Enemy. It's like where it's like the spider's taking a dump. Like he opens the door on it and it just looks like like
it is clutching his toilet.
It's clutching his toilet.
His toilet is loud and they keep not repairing it. And it's like attracted by the rumbling that his toilet makes.
Yeah. But yeah, I would assume I wasn't going crazy and then I'd have a million questions for the space spider.
Yeah.
I want to know, how did you fucking get here? How do you travel? Like, I would like to know more about your wormhole technology, please. I don't know.
Yeah, because you seem to just be a bug that flies through space.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it breathes air, but like...
Doesn't seem to.
Why? Why doesn't it breathe air? Why are you a spider, sir?
I don't know, man. Plenty of things don't breathe air.
Yeah, that's fair.
That wouldn't be the biggest head scratcher for me.
No, I guess not. I don't know. It all comes down to like, I think we made it clear that this isn't a bad movie. You know,
no,
like,
it's just
it's not.
I think it had loftier ideas for itself. I think, and it just doesn't. It's just not there. Like it's selling it like it's this big, grand, profound idea. And it's a nice idea. It's a truth, I think. But like,
yeah,
and a lot of the times for a lot of people, but it's just like not, dude. It's not like this thing that echoes through generations. Like it's not, it doesn't have that like the 2001. Like I said, Interstellar already, or like the 2001 thing where you see the final like, oh, this is about like technology and how and the curse of intelligence or whatever, you know, right. it doesn't come back together to hit you with like this truth about the universe. It's just like a very basic piece of relationship advice or interpersonal advice.
Yeah, that's for
you. It's like something a therapist would tell you. It's like, I think you're putting putting too much effort into your career.
The fact that he's in space is almost inconsequential.
Meaning
that, like, because it's only a year, it's like he could be studying abroad. Like, that is the same idea of pushing yourself.
He could be catching crabs in Alaska.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all to say that, like, the ending, correct me if I'm wrong. So, like, the spider is dying, spoilers.
Yeah.
And it has like some sort of inner bug infection. It's unclear, but it's clear enough. Like you get it. You know,
infected with the flood, basically.
Right.
From Halo.
It's funny because I thought he was just going to die, and then he just like,
no, he doesn't.
Like Adam Sandler, he cries, but he should have been like, oh my fucking god! Like and like tried to swim away from it as it was happening because it gets swarmed with bugs, and I'm like, Adam Sandler, did you bring any of that home with you? You bring any of that bug disease with you? Like,
let's hope
I don't
not.
Know. But he chases the spider out into space, and it's kind of unclear to me why the spider leaves at that point, because he's like, we're going to do this together. We're going to see the end and the beginning of all things as we fly into this space swarm of colors. And then the spider kind of bounces, mm-hmm. and I wasn't quite sure why, because the spider seemed committed to that idea.
He's dying at that point.
He's dying, yeah. But like,
it's not clear. It's not clear. I mean, we were shown the particles from the ribbon are kind of drifting in out of the spaceship at will. And I think it's just another question of the spider's reality too, is he sort of appears and disappears. I bet if you went back and watched, there might be a little bit more of a pattern to when he's there and when he's not there. Because sometimes he'll be there right talking to Adam Sandler, and then he'll sit in and be doing an activity, and it'll cut to a wider shot, and there's no spider.
Right.
There's a bit of a Calvin and Hobbes game that goes on with it sometimes.
Yeah.
But I took it like he's dying and some part of that, like maybe he's a phase spider and he phased through the spaceship or something accidentally.
Yeah, I think the strongest case is that if it is an alien, if the spider's real, maybe it never physically existed. Maybe it existed as part of the cloud. And because there is this idea, and I love this idea, that the way an ant can't comprehend an airplane, nor can we comprehend, you know, technology larger than us, or the concept of a duck blind, the idea that there are animals that we can mask our scent and we can just trick them into thinking there's nothing there. And so, like, I've always been obsessed with that idea of, like, who's to say there isn't an alien in the room with us right now?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way for us to know if its technology is beyond our comprehension. And so maybe that's what they're trying to imply, is that, like, he's not a spider. That's just what Adam Sandler was thinking about. He's not really physically there, not in the way we can comprehend. And so, like, he's just not, like, he's digging into his memories, right? So he's not bound to space and time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, yeah, I can accept that. It all culminates, though, in him going out into the cloud with this spider. But, like, again, if that is the case, the spider still gets eaten by space worms. So I'm like, well, which is it? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the space worms aren't really there, you know?
Maybe
but he
not.
Goes out and he goes out and we get this like 2001 thing where he kind of like blasts through this pink mist.
Mm-hmm.
But does that ever kind of, is there any revelation to be had there?
He goes through it and they see all of his memories firing. It's like he's passing through a cloud of just everything that's ever happened in his life. And he gets spaghettified briefly, and then they come out on the other side. And that's when the spider dies and he is rescued by the Korean ship. It occurs to me that the spider might just be the ribbon. Like the ribbon might be psychically communicating with him the whole time.
I think that's the best answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like going through the ribbon, we don't really learn anything. Like maybe we should have learned that the ribbon is the spider. Maybe that's what we should have learned.
I think it's the moment when he starts to think and when he starts to view life and existence the way the spider does, where the spider is just like, things are the way they are. He keeps saying the universe is as it should be. He's a very logical being. So I think it's just, it's the moment Adam Sandler seeing his whole life in front of him happening simultaneously, as when he sort of, I think, breaks free of his short-sightedness and selfishness, which is what the spider accuses him of earlier.
Yeah, and I just sort of
it's like Dr. Manhattan a little bit in that moment where he's like, oh, I get it now. I'm part of this whole, everything happens at once. We're all energy, you know, that epiphany that people have.
Here's the thing about that. I'd actually think this is better if he rejected the spider for that, because that is the long-termism Elon Musk thinking. The spider is him going through the reaches of space. I mean, it had to escape its home, but like, I think that's actually cleaner if the spider is like everything as it should be, and he could be like, no, motherfucker, we can fight for the things we want. Like, that idea of accepting, like, oh, the universe, everything that's already happened or everything that will happen has already happened. You can't change anything. That is like very nihilist thinking that is dangerous, I think, as a species to actually think that, because that's how we don't make the actual discoveries we need.
Yeah, I don't think that's actually what the spider's saying.
It's hard, but that's the thing, is it's all kind of, because the spider is also like, you're an asshole for leaving this person.
Because
he's
not, all time existing at once and things being predestined are not the same idea.
Yeah, that's fair. But you know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of generic Zen, whole idea.
Yeah, it is a very, very, like, yeah.
And so, like, that's all to say that the movie isn't saying enough for that reason.
Exactly,
where,
yeah.
Like, the great truth. Like, you look at, like, our Interstellar, when he goes into the black hole. Spoilers. Actually, I won't spoil it. There's a truth. There's a reveal. There's a, oh, this is what this is.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't one in this. It's all building to this moment where he goes into the cloud. And when he goes in, like, I would have liked that idea of the spider being like, I am the cloud. And when the spider dies, so does the cloud. Something like that. You know what I mean? Like, some sort of revelation. But it is just this, like, time is whatever. Everything is what it should be. And then I'm going to die. And he doesn't come out of it, like, any different than when he went in, and not in any big sense of it. I don't think, like, everything...
He's different. It's just, it's a light touch. It's just...
Right.
Like, you get the sense that something finally breaks loose in him.
Right. But it's all kind of driven there by his conversations with the spider before that.
Yes.
I guess, my point.
That's true.
That he could have reached that conclusion without this space ribbon.
I know, but then it wouldn't have looked as cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And he wouldn't have gotten the sense of... Because part of it is realizing that you're insignificant,
right?
And like the as much as you're pushing for whatever goal in your career, like, when, I don't know, it's not a guarantee by the universe. And when you get there, you're not going to gain any kind of great truth or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
But he got some truth. That's the other thing. He did get some truth.
He did.
This.
Yeah.
About himself. So it's like, yeah, study that ribbon. There's clearly shit going on in there. Just send some of your spacemans into it.
Yeah.
They'll see some spiders or
launch
something.
Launch them up there. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all just, I don't know.
Maybe teach them spider customs before. Have them learn the language. Get them to just, you know, embed with a spider family for a month or two.
Yeah. 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 I was hoping. Yeah. That he'd, like, near the end, he'd be like, okay, now I need you to stay still. I just need to take some of your blood. And he just starts slowly eating Adam Sandler. And that's really all he wanted. He was just a spider. It was just spider stuff.
Yep.
It's just muddled. It's muddled. It has good ideas.
That's a great word for it.
Yeah, and the ideas aren't bad. It's just, like, the execution is weird. Like, why only a year? Like, I don't know. It felt like they wanted to accomplish some things. They wanted to have a big 2001 ending. And so I guess what I was saying with setting up 2001 is, like, creating the standard, right? Because everybody remembers the ending of 2001 as this beautiful, ambiguous thing. And I think space movies have that feeling of, like, well, we want to do that, too. And some of them do it. Some of them do it, some of them don't, but a lot of them try for it. Like, I would argue even, like, Event Horizon is thinking about 2001 during that movie, of like, you know, like a wormhole, like this other dimension, like this intangible quality in space. We love that idea, and I love it. Like, I get it. But it felt like they didn't quite have a grasp of what any of it really was. When is he? He's in like a river at some point. That's how it begins. And then it happens near the end.
Mm-hmm.
What was the significance of that?
It's bookended. I don't know.
Okay.
Because I think it's a dream.
Yeah.
Because it's a little Eternal Sunshine. He's in his spacesuit walking in this river. That's the one of the first images we see. And it gets called back a few times. And then one of the last images we see is he gets to the end of this little creek. And it's his wife sitting on a fallen tree across the creek, except she is in the Halloween costume that she was wearing when he first met her.
Right.
So it's, I don't, like, know. I think it's a dream love. Or yeah, it's him coming back to her. He's right. dressed. He's dressed like an explorer, which is also how he was dressed when he met her. He was wearing a cosmonaut costume, but in this vision, he's wearing his actual gear. And he's coming all the way back down this river back to her.
Right. And I'm sure someone who's like, you know, the person who made the movie would have a bigger answer.
I'm sure he would. Yeah.
But I kept thinking, like, I thought it was actually going to end with him being like teleported to Earth or something. And that's what we were seeing, is like him when he's back on Earth or something like that.
Yeah.
Like that idea of it sends him all the way back to her. But like, yeah, I don't know. It was fine. It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was ambitious and like beautiful, like we said. It's beautifully made. Like,
yeah.
I continue to be very excited about, you know, everybody involved in this, and their ability to make really good stuff. That includes, you know, Adam Sandler. it's all these great artists coming together to make this thing that I think, like, maybe it was studio meddling, maybe it was that 3 years in post. But whatever it was, it just didn't quite nail it, you know?
Yeah.
But I did enjoy it.
Yeah. Me too, Dave.
Isabella Rossellini's in there.
She sure is.
As fucking space, yeah. Space lady.
Space president.
Space president. Thank you. They should have called her that.
They should have. Yeah.
I think we can be done with this. Spaceman. I mean, listen, if you have Netflix, it's on Netflix. My view is, like, this is really firmly in the, if you have Netflix and you're looking for something to watch that's like space shit, this is that space shit. You know, like, if you're a space pervert, you know, like the way, like, we watch mysteries, murder mysteries. It's just like, if this is one of those, if this is your type of junk, then this won't disappoint. This will scratch that itch.
Yeah.
It might not be the most satisfying scratch.
It might not be.
Yeah.
But, you know, it gives you a decent little thing to think about, and some, it's well made.
Yeah.
It's just a little muddled.
Yeah. It's muddled pro-spider propaganda.
It is. Yeah. That's dangerous spider propaganda, if we're being honest.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, folks.
Thank you.
We have a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed, GAMEFULLY, unemployed. That's our theme. That's our our commercial jingle. For $5 a month, you get access to exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Fox Mulder's A Maniac, Star Trek The Next Futurama, Spielboys. You can also, there's a tier where you can actually have us watch movies and do We Just Watched episodes that are custom to the thing you make us watch. You know, so there's that. And we have a whole Discord and a community, and we watch movies every Friday night. I don't know, lots of stuff on there. You can check it out.
There's a lot going on. We also have a store. Head over to gamefitemployed.com. You can find a link to our Teespring store. We have all kinds of cool original artwork and designs you can get on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all sorts of things. So slap your compound eyes onto that. Actually, they don't have compound eyes. They just have a lot of them.
They have too many eyes. I don't know why they need those eyes.
Yeah.
What do they have to see so much of?
The funniest thing about the spider is, did you notice he has a little person mouth?
Yeah.
That moves when he talks. With, like, person teeth. He just has a normal human mouth in the center of his little spider face. So after a while, and like his spider eyes have pupils too. So after a while, like when I'm looking in his face and like, you know, looking at his mouth because he's talking, you know, because that's how you look at a person when they speak. It was just like I was looking at MCP pants.
That's amazing. It is MCP pants.
He just looked like MCP pants.
They should have given him a diaper. That would have been amazing. So have MC Chris do the voice.
Especially when he was sitting there with Nutella jar, eating the Nutella.
Oh my God. Give me the MC Chris cut of this.
The MC Chris cut Holy of Space shit. Man.
That's what I want more
Yo,
than anything.
Yo, give me some Nutella.
Holy shit. Make it happen, Internet. Also in that version, give him a just a human dick. Why not?
Of course. Why wouldn't you?